Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, who do we have out there? Our normal band of malcontents waiting to eagerly to hear the insanity that we talk about? Same old show as always, Walking Dead, Westworld, and Manifest. And we have our first co-host, yay. Good evening.
Good evening, AJ. How are you?
Good.
Yeah? Holding up okay up there in New York?
Yeah. It just sucks that I work at Sam's Club, so I'll never get to work from home.
No, you won't. Do you still have goods in your stores?
Yeah.
I guess you do if you're working. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alyssa, I saw Alyssa mention that you texted her when some toilet paper came in.
Yeah.
Oh, see, you got special info when the hot products come in up there.
Well, you know what it is? Because of all this, the insanity buying, you got to jump on shit when you know about it.
That's right. That's right. You know. You do.
And the only reason we're in this crisis mode is because people are getting carried away.
Being ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, they are. And you got your boys at home, right? No school. Boys are home.
Yeah.
Well, everybody in America is catching up on plenty of TV. Since we can't go anywhere nights and weekends, I can't tell you how many, I'm sure you're the same way. Every friend I have is like binging this show and that show. And I feel like I'm the only person who hasn't, like, for the amount of TV that I watch, I haven't like binged anything yet.
I haven't been home to binge anything.
No. Yeah. I guess Jamie should be here in a little bit, huh? I mean, not a little bit. She should be here right now.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything with her not coming tonight, so I assume.
No, I think she may
she
just
was...
be. Hang on, and I'll send her a text. It's hard for me to talk and text at the same time, but I'll try.
That's true for most people.
Are you coming?
Oh my God! Is it Tuesday?
Sorry. Hi. Sorry about that. I sent her a quick text.
That's,
she should be
I can hear her. I can hear her being like,
can
oh
hear
God,
me talking? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we only have three shows this week, so it's going to be a fairly short podcast tonight, right?
Yes, another quick one.
And we have, like, so of these three episodes, we have one really terrible one to discuss. And I think we have, like, a range the good, the bad, and the ugly this week, I guess.
I don't know what's terrible.
Oh, here's Jamie texting. Yeah, she's dialing now. Yeah, it could be The Walking Dead. It can always be The Walking Dead. well, we'll see what Jamie has to say about it. It involves an extended hallucination. So, you know, Karen, you know, I'm going to hate. I hate dream sequences. I hate hallucinations. I hate, right? I hate dreams. I hate all of it. And there was an extended hallucination this week. So that's a deal breaker for me.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
Let me let Jamie in.
Yeah, hello.
Good evening.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Hi. Good. I heard you start to talk about what you hated about Walking Dead. When I was watching, I'm like, Karen just loved this, I'm sure.
You knew, right? You knew I would
hate
it.
Yeah, that episode was so horrible, though. Even I think that, I mean, it was just dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, the overall idea was okay, but the, you know, 80% of the episode was stupid. So.
It was. And I guess, you know, we can jump right into it. This was Michonne's final episode on the show.
Yes.
And by the end of it, she goes off by herself. And I did not like seeing Michonne spend, first of all, to see Michonne spend most of her final episode locked in a cell by a non-character who's been in like two episodes, right?
Yeah, I know, right? I think it was
a guy
that.
I can't even remember his name. And this guy got the better of her and locked her up. And then she, Virgil, is that his name?
Yeah, Virgil.
Oh. Yeah. And then she has an extended hallucination, which I just, I mean, I kind of, well, what did you think? Go ahead. You probably thought the same thing. You
well,
just said you hated it.
I thought it was interesting they were, like, kind of doing the flashbacks, and I didn't mind that they were kind of giving her, like, a, I don't know what you want to call it, a character story to kind of show through her life and stuff that happened. But, yeah, the fact that she was locked in there, and then once she started, he drugged her with whatever and started giving her hallucinations, which, in my opinion, I was kind of confused by to begin with, because they're like, the food should be okay. If they're helping her, they had to, I mean, I would think knew that he was going to drug her. So I don't know. I was confused by that. But, yeah, the whole thing made absolutely no sense. Like, her, I was okay with her, per se, like, remembering some of the things that they did that were bad, but they twisted them all up so they didn't make sense. Like, if it had just been her saying, oh, yeah, we killed, you know, showing we killed the saviors or whatever. But, no, she turns into Negan or something, and that was just so bizarre it made no sense. So, yeah, that whole part of the episode was really stupid. I didn't mind, you know, the other parts, like where she found the, you know, Rick's stuff and the boat and everything. And I think that that worked for her to leave, going off to hunt for him. Do you know, is she supposed to be in the movies with Rick, or is this just she's done?
I don't know.
Because it seems, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, like, if they want her, if she wants to leave, I understand they have to find a way to write her out. But to me, it kind of makes no sense that it's the apocalypse. And I don't care if you want to try to find your boyfriend or husband or whatever. You wouldn't just leave your little kids. I don't believe if she really loved them, she would have left like that, whether she's looking for Rick or not, whether Judith tells her to or not. But, you know, it's a show. You can only do so much. But I kind of like the end, though, where she's, like, had her pets again, and then she decided to stop instead and help them, which is why she will probably never be back. But somebody said, I don't remember if it was in a recap I read it or something, so I apologize whoever I took this idea from. But, oh, okay, I'm sorry. It wasn't the recap I had. It's from undeadwalking.com. They had suggested that the group kind of looked like maybe it was the people from Fear the Walking Dead. And I had thought of that. I don't think she's going to show up on there, but it's an interesting theory.
No, she's not. She's done. I mean.
Yeah, but she's like, I'll call you every day. Like, she can't be talking to Judith if she's been on the show. So I don't know what was up with that. But, you know, like I said, not a great episode. I did like that she, you know, let him live and talk them into it. Although I would have at least locked him up in the prison for a while, but, you know. But I don't know. The other last week was better, so that's all I got to say.
Well, so I mean, what, you know, so this guy gets the better of her, and he gives her some hallucinogenic weed, Jimson weed. It's not really clear why he does that. The guy's a little crazy.
Well, he
right?
said
he's
something
people.
Like he thought that she, I guess he thought that she would see, as he said, heaven like him and see her family and be happy, which is kind of like really stupid. But I guess that was what I understood about it, is that he's taking it all the time to kind of drug out. And
well, because he's crazy, but I don't think,
yeah,
well, first of all, her family's not dead, so she wouldn't see them.
Well,
and you can't see dead people. It made no sense. I was really irritated. I was extremely irritated that this show has, like, gotten so bad that it's gotten to a place that every single person they meet is another crazy person who gets the better of them. And it's just, like, you know, inconceivable. Like, it hasn't made sense to me that Michonne's going along with this one guy. It had to be me. I had to go by myself with this crazy guy to see if he had weapons. And, like,
yeah, that was kind of horrible.
Like, her
yeah.
her journey made no sense. I mean, it made sense because Danai Gurira is like, get me off this crappy show, and only agreed to do a couple episodes this season, so they had to explain her absence somehow. So they send her on this, like, sort of journey, right? But,
they could have done
I
it without taking all the episodes apart to send her on the journey, though. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, because she had to be missing for most of it so they could stretch her out over the course of the season.
I guess that's true.
I do appreciate, so I hate the whole hallucination and the dream sequence, and it was so horrible.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't, you know, I did sort of understand what they were trying to do. Like Michonne was seeing, like, what her life could have been had she made different decisions.
Right,
I didn't
right.
really love the hallucination. So in the beginning of the hallucination, she decides not to help Andrea, and it sets her life on a different path, right?
Yeah.
However, I did not agree with the parts of the hallucination where she's walking, like she's running in the woods and she's very inept. She's running in the woods and she's falling. Like suddenly she's going down the road with a backpack and she's screaming for Daryl to help her and Daryl ignores her.
I think it was, I don't know. I thought at first it was going to be that she killed them or something, but yeah, the fact that they couldn't help her made no sense at all.
That's a scene that we have seen before where there was a guy walking with a backpack and they ignored him. And they left him. This guy's running. Remember that? This guy's running up to them, to the car, calling, help me, and Rick and Daryl and Carl, like, leave him. And then later in the episode, they pass by the same stretch of road. The guy is dead. Walker's got him. And they pick up his backpack.
Vaguely.
It was reminiscent of that episode.
I had forgotten what that was about. Okay.
It's a scene that Michonne didn't participate in. So I don't know how she hallucinates a different version of a scene that she wasn't a part of. And then she joins the Saviors, which I don't really believe that Michonne would ever have joined the Saviors under any circumstances, but they imply that she's kind of weak.
And then she becomes Negan, kind of, which was even worse.
Well, she becomes Negan's right-hand man, but so one thing that was really good about the whole, like, I also object to Negan, like, having any role where he's allowed to steal a scene from Danai Gurira, because it's her last show, and don't put the scenery-chewing giant ham of the entire show to steal. Like, I did appreciate the way they re-envisioned, you know, something that fans have complained about for years, is that Rick brought Negan on himself when Rick and Glenn and all those guys snuck into the Saviors' camp at night and slit everyone's throats while they slept. People who had done nothing to them, they killed innocent people in their sleep without doing any scouting or understanding anything about the Saviors. And it was like 100% Rick's fault that all this happened. So I did like that they showed it. They showed
That's
it really
saying,
more
yeah,
from
showing
a,
the things they did wrong and what she was involved in. I think was good. It was when they started going all wacky with it that it annoyed me. Like,
yeah.
She would be, like, even if she was with the Saviors, which, again, I agree with you, I don't think she ever would be, she wouldn't be the one that would bash somebody in the head. I mean, that's just stupid. But I don't know, the fact that they sort of had her be, well, you said you're right, it was more his right-hand mind, but either way, I thought that was really stupid. What I kind of thought maybe they were going to do at first, which could have been interesting, is I remember them saying something about that they actually filmed the scene killing everybody, so nobody knew for sure what they were doing. I thought maybe they were going to show like an alternate death or something of like one of the other people getting killed because of whatever happened. I think that could have been interesting. But the way they did it was dumb. But I do have to say, I did, not that for story-wise I appreciated it because I didn't, but I liked technically the way that they put the two of them into the old scenes. Because I was trying to figure out, I'm like, okay, did they just add her? And it's like, no, you can tell that Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he's like lots, not that he, you know, was in bad shape or anything before, but he's skinnier now than he was then. And so you could tell, like, he was their new scenes for sure of the two of them.
Yeah, they reshot
those
scenes.
But I liked
how
they added them into the old scenes, and they made it look pretty flawless. I mean, we knew because we knew, but they made it fit pretty well. And I thought that was kind of cool. It just didn't work for the story.
Yeah. How did you like the part where Michonne let's set that aside for a second. I also really, really don't like that Michonne spent her entire final episode with notes, like, there was no goodbye or anything to her. Like, she didn't spend any quality time this season with any of the characters that we love and want her to be with. Like, all we saw was her having a radio conversation with Judith, which irritated me because they have these super-powered walkie-talkies that, like I think she said she was going to New Jersey with this guy, right? Or to Virginia.
I don't know. She's on an island somewhere. So
their walkie-talkies are better than, like, cop walkie-talkies. They travel so far.
Yeah.
But she didn't spend any time, since we've been back from the break and had all this episode with any of our characters. Like, the Judith scene was cute, but
they shouldn't have sent her out, but I get that they wanted to stretch it. I hadn't thought about that.
They shouldn't have set her, whatever they did, they should have set her with Virgil and three red shirts, like, who, for her entire episode. Like, I really don't like, I want to see, sorry to be, like, a little sentimental, but I prefer to see my characters have a goodbye with the characters that they, Yeah.
I agree. Well, they did do all the flashbacks. Maybe they thought that was enough, which it wasn't. But
well,
know,
they were fake. They weren't
that.
Flashbacks. They were hallucinations, and they
well,
were fake scenes that were re-edited to be stuff that never
yeah.
happened.
Yeah,
and we didn't see, not only did we not see Daryl say goodbye to her, we saw Daryl kill her in that hallucination.
Well, he didn't kill her. He left her there, right?
In the hallucination,
he
kills her. He shoots her with an arrow. He kills
her. Oh,
that's
right. That's right. I forgot about that. Okay, you're right. Yeah, I
yeah.
was trying to remember.
Yeah.
There was so many crazy,
yeah.
so much crazy crap in there. It's hard to tell. Yeah. No, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think it was bad, and it was bad for a goodbye last episode.
Yes.
It would have been better if they had just had her in the season less and had her, like, leave with that guy even and say goodbye to everybody, like, when she left.
Yeah.
And then just
yeah.
be never seen again. I would have been okay with that. Because
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they knew back then when she was leaving. So, yeah. So the other
yeah.
thing we probably should talk about. Wait, you had something else for the episode, right? That you wanted to say.
Well,
what are you going to say about the phones you found?
You know, I have a lot more stuff about the episode to talk about. So what do you think about the fact that she finds some evidence that Rick might be alive?
It didn't really matter to me one way or another because we already know he's alive. So
yeah.
I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. She's not, unless she's going to be in the movies and get to see him, what was the point? That was the way I felt about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I thought it felt like a setup for the movies more than,
that's
you know.
That's why I wondered if she was going to be in it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
We already knew he was likely alive. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, so that's why I
yeah.
said I thought maybe she was going to be because of that. But the thing that I was just going to mention was the fact.
Wait, go ahead. Are you trying to talk about the production schedule?
About the what?
Is that what you're going to mention, the production schedule?
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, can we finish talking about the episode first?
Yeah, sorry, I thought you were done. Go ahead.
No, I have so much more
to
complain
about. I'm
just
trying about. To make sure I get done. That's all. Go ahead.
I mean... So I also, so then she has this long conversation with Judith, right? On the walkie-talkie I was complaining about. But so you said that you don't believe that she would leave without going home to see the children, right?
Yeah.
I also can't believe that Judith says to her, "We beat the Whisperers, Mom. Alpha won't bother us anymore." And
I know,
and
she didn't even
Michonne
exactly
never,
say Alpha was dead, and she didn't ask.
Right.
Either.
Well, Michonne never says, "Wait, what? What are you talking about? What happened? How? Put Uncle Daryl on the phone. Put Aunt Carol." Like, she never
yeah.
asks any questions and just takes a 7-year-old's word for it and decides she doesn't have to go home anymore because the kids are safe from Alpha.
I know.
Like,
that was kind of stupid. I hadn't even thought about that, but that was really stupid.
Yeah, it's just not a way that Michonne is going to act, right?
Right.
And we have to talk about the final scene. I mean, how can we, never mind that she finds out that Rick is alive, but how about when she meets those two people and the people like, "You have to help us, they're going to leave without us." And we see like that giant army of people marching in perfect unison. You know what it looks like to me? Did you ever see the movie The Patriot where Mel Gibson's in the Revolutionary War and all the redcoats line up in these perfect lines and they're marching everywhere? Like,
I pretty much only remember Jason Isaac. Yeah, no,
right,
that was
yeah.
That's why I. That's why
it
I.
It was hundreds of people in perfect.
Well, that's why they said something about Fear the Walking Dead. But that's why I kind of wondered about her being in the movie because I thought, well, it kind of makes sense if it's like the whatever military people or whatever
maybe
they were that kidnapped Rick. But I that was why I wondered that. But I did like, I don't know. Part of it kind of annoyed me because she's leaving her kids to go look for her. Boyfriend, I guess he's not really her husband, boyfriend.
Baby
but
daddy,
yet
yeah.
stops and takes more time to help somebody else, which I liked that she did that because, I mean, I get it was like this is who she is and she's not going to leave him behind. But at the same point, it's like, well, now you're willing to leave your kid for something else that ain't, doesn't even involve you. So I hope at least if she gets him there, she'd turn around and finish her search after that. But I
right.
figure when she saw
and
them,
we'll
she
never
could
know.
Also be thinking, well, maybe he's there. You know, she really don't know. So
Yeah. I was reading, you know, I like to read Eric Kane is the recapper for Forbes magazine, and he was commenting about how he would really like he feels like many of us see that these movies are a stupid idea, and what would be much better, like he said he would watch a whole spinoff about like them looking for Rick. Like, if Michonne is going to go find Rick, shouldn't she go home and get Carol and Daryl or some other people to come with her and say, I've got a lead, come help me find Rick, your brother, your best friend, and that would be a show to watch, right? Like, to me, that's
right,
way
right.
better than watching this new spinoff with a bunch of kids who I'm not invested in yet. And instead, how Walking Dead is just going to have another villain of the week, the villain of the season,
yeah.
like, they keep running into new villains and having the same
yeah,
story over and over again, and they have this opportunity. I don't know what was going on. Like, it looks like the grass was mowed perfectly there. They had this big, like, mowed down field, and there were at least a couple, it was like a couple battalions worth of people all
yeah.
marching perfectly, right? So I think that's setting up for the movie also, right? Don't you?
Yeah, I think it could be. And I was looking to see if anybody said it. People were theorizing she might be in the movies, but I guess it hasn't been announced yet. But they said there may be a reunion. I don't know. I mean, it does seem like a setup for that. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. The other thing is you never know with schedules and them, you know, signing agreements and stuff. There could be no plan right now, and then they could talk her into it. So you never know. But yeah, it did definitely seem like it was setting up for that. I was going to say, I do have some things to say about the new series, but I can't say anything yet. Cause
yes.
Since
okay.
they're not airing it for a while yet, yeah, can't really talk about that. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I don't know. They're like, they ended, I guess, the Alpha thing in the beginning, middle of the season, or it's not even the middle, it's past the middle of the season, which I don't exactly
yeah.
mind because I just wanted it to be done. But I'm
Get
kind
rid
of
her, yeah.
concerned they're going to put in another villain that fast. I wish they'd spend more time on the show. I mean, it used to be a lot about their survival, not always about them finding a villain. I mean, yes, you have to have a bad guy in a show because there just kind of has to be an antagonist. Where
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, I mean, to some extent, there's no show. But there could be some that's just, you know, that's like just them surviving or whatever. And, you know, obstacles they come across. There doesn't have to be an evil person all the time.
Right. Like,
so yeah,
like
that's my
you know, they could have a mission. Like, they don't go on missions anymore like they used to. Like, you
right.
know, in some sense, like Fear the Walking Dead, I don't think they've handled Morgan all that well. But, like, he's on a, like, they've been on a, they're always on a mission. Like, he went on a mission to go out there, and they had this mission to save these kids, which, you know, wasn't well executed, but it was a mission. And then they had the mission to, like, they, the bad people they run into on Fear are sort of more obstacles along their larger arc. I mean, okay, those guys that camped outside the baseball stadium, they were terrible also. But I feel like they have, like, goals that they're working towards.
Right.
On that show sometimes, more than just who's the latest person who's going to, like, try to get
yeah,
zombies to knock down our
wall. Yeah, I think they need a little bit of that on this, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah. Okay, so you would also like to mention the status of Walking Dead, right?
Yeah. Well, like I started to say, the Beyond, or it's called Beyond the Walking Dead, Walking Dead Beyond. Anyway, the new series has been pushed forward till I'm not sure when yet, sometime in a year, which I'm
Fair.
Guessing they're doing to kind of stretch
Wait,
out
it,
their...
It was supposed to come out, like, next week, right?
Yeah, it's not. They don't have a definitive date, but it was on the official Facebook page. Yeah, it makes no sense because we keep getting screeners. But they've moved it forward, I'm guessing, just to kind of stretch out premiere schedule. Because if you think about it, pretty soon we're going to be watching repeats of most stuff because things aren't filming. So they're moving the date forward. But the other thing is, which was what I was going to mention, is that they've said that they haven't finished the finale of this Walking Dead, the regular Walking Dead. So it'll be ending, I want to say April 15th. I'm not even sure the date. But anyway, they won't have the
yeah.
finale as the finale. They'll be having it later in the season, and it'll be a special episode. So I don't know how that's going to change things up. I hope that the episode they end on at least has some kind of ending. If we've got
As I understand, that episode was in post. They were done, but it's in post-production, and they can't finish the post-production because of COVID. They
right.
like nobody can go to work, right? So...
Right.
What we saw this week was episode 13, so we will see 14 and 15, which I think puts the last episode on April 7th, and then they will have to hold the finale until they Now, historically, Walking Dead has always liked to do major kills in the second to last episode. So,
I know, that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, there might be sort of a cliffhanger at the end of that. We don't know.
And so they put off the new series for an entire year, huh?
No, it just says later in the year. I just don't know when it is.
Oh, and I don't know if Fear usually comes out in the summer, so.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I'll
be shot yet either.
When I find out. Yeah, because that's what I couldn't understand, because all the things I got were still saying April, but they had announced it apparently on the, because I didn't even realize it was the official Facebook, but the new posters say later this year. So it's been,
yeah,
it's been changed. So we'll have to wait and see. All right. Well, let's move on to Westworld, because I don't have too much time.
Okay.
Westworld. Okay, so this episode of Westworld was much better than the last episode. To me, the first episode was almost like a different show because of the sense that, to me, it didn't. I mean, I know to some extent it did, but it didn't exactly connect to the first or second season, in my opinion, the first episode enough. Like, you could watch it and be watching a completely different show. It's not that it wasn't good. It just, to me, felt so much different. I like that this, we got back into, even though it wasn't actually Westworld that most of it was in, it was sort of Westworld. And we got Maeve, who I like at this point better than Dolores. And I kind of liked we got sort of that side, even though it was all fake. I kind of like the idea that it was all fake and that she wasn't actually in Westworld when she started to figure that out. Although I didn't like the fact that I was happy they brought Lee back, and then I'm like, oh, wait, he's probably dead, not coming back. So that's either here nor there. But I think there was some really good moments. I think there were a lot of emotional moments, like when she found out that what's his name? The guy from Lost. I can't think of his name. That he didn't remember her. And the other thing that confused me, and I guess you were supposed to kind of think it was strange, is I know I was wondering through the whole episode, why is Westworld still running after what happened at the other parks? And also, I thought they destroyed their memory bank or whatever, so how is she getting her memories back? But I guess it kind of ended up for naught, because that's not what happened. So I was trying to see if it said that. I still can't think of his name. Pissed me off. But you know who I mean. Who?
Hector.
Okay. Yeah, Hector. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I did like the stuff with her and Leto, too, even though he was fake. A lot of it was funny. And then I liked how she kind of overloaded it, and she's, you know, outside of the program, used the robot to get her brain out of that place, which, confusing how she figured that out, but kind of cool. And I guess that guy at the end that I had said to you in the text, I kind of figure that, it says in here, his name's Serac. I kind of figured that he was the one that made the machine they were talking about in the first episode. But other than that, what he's up to, how he has Maeve, if she's really outside of the computer now and all that, and how he can, you know, he obviously can control her. You know, I'm curious to see how that's going to go. But on the other side, I did also enjoy the Bernard and Stubbs story, too. Although it was kind of sad at the end that he forced him to go with them. But they made a joke out of it, so that at least made it a little bit better.
Well, on the behind the episode clip, the creators mentioned that those two are sort of meant to provide a little bit of comedy, not comedy,
yeah,
I guess, but a lighter
yeah,
relationship. Yeah. AJ, how did you enjoy this episode?
I liked it. I liked being back in the, you know, Westworld area. For me, the highlight was definitely the cameo of Drogon.
Yes, that was fantastic.
Yeah, the two guys with him were a producer.
Yeah, that was the two techs.
That was Benioff and Weiss.
You know, I don't know anything about the show. Don't watch it. But even I thought, that looks like the dragon from Game of Thrones. That was my thought. So
yeah.
I guess that worked out.
Yes, they lent their dragon to
Westworld. I didn't recognize them at first. I saw the dragon and I was like, that looks like Drogon. And then I looked at them again, and I was like, oh, my God, that's Benioff and Weiss. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
One of the things that I thought of right away, and correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, but didn't you suspect during season two that Stubbs might be one of the AI?
Yes.
I thought you did.
And it was,
turns out,
it
you,
was
looked,
really...
you were correct.
Yeah,
did
I
they
think
not...
I...
say at the end of the season, because when I was reading a recap, it said that he was, and we already knew that, and I didn't remember us knowing that.
No. I think I talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago to you guys after I rewatched the season finale, that, like, you never see him confirmed the way, like, Bernard is confirmed or LA cutting his brain open or anything, but it's the conversation that he has with Maeve as she with it's the conversation he has at the end of the episode where he says, I was put here on this, you know, he said the boss hired me. I was one of the first people the boss hired, and my job is to protect all the hosts on the island. You could say it's my core directive. And he speaks at length to you know how Dolores is in Charlotte? Is that her name? Charlotte's body? And Stubbs says these things to her, how his job is to protect the hosts on the island, how it's his core directive. Like, he says all the stuff that indicate that he's a host, but it's never like, you never see him stop all motor functions or anything like that.
They didn't show him try to blow himself up or anything like that. That's what I couldn't remember.
No, that's new. But he, I mean, I definitely, from watching that conversation, I was like, oh, he's totally a host. But it was not confirmed until this episode.
Okay. Interesting.
So, what else, AJ? You were
no, that's okay.
Talking a little bit about what we thought.
You know, Sandy Newton must love her job. Because, Karen, you mention this all the time. Maeve has the best wardrobe on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So Sandy Newton must be loving her job because she always gets to dress in such amazing outfits. And it was funny because when she meets the guy at the end of the episode, he's like, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't know what your tastes were. I just thought, I was like, oh, how funny is that? Because Karen, you know, is constantly talking about her wardrobe, you know, so for them to make a comment about that, it makes me wonder if it's like an inside thing about how Maeve
mm-hmm.
is the only one that really has, you know, any type of decent wardrobe.
Yeah, she was, I thought that Charlotte had great clothes also, but Maeve is always better. I really enjoyed being back in the Westworld world. I mean, it's revealed that we're not in a park, that it's a simulation, which was kind of awesome because I was thinking when I saw last week's after credits scene and then when I saw the beginning of this, I was like, seriously, they made a park about World War II. Like, this is,
I know,
like,
that's kind of horrible.
Like,
I'm thinking, what asshole
right?
want to come to this park?
You Are know. You coming to say that you want to play a Nazi? Do you want, like, who would come to this park, right? Yeah.
Hopefully.
And, but I enjoyed being back in that whole thing, and I enjoyed that Maeve, like, you know, she's awake, she doesn't have her powers. It soon becomes clear to everyone and to Maeve that it's not real. And she's so smart, and she manages to get out of there. I did have a conversation with Jamie. AJ, you were on this text thread that I don't really get how she came to be in the real world and in this guy's house. Like, after Maeve, like, controls a robot to steal her own brain, her own ball, her brain ball, her pearl, is that what they call it? To steal the pearl. And the robot, which they call Harriet, runs away and gets shot. And so Maeve cannot escape. And then the next thing we see, she has been, like, rescued by this guy. And so I'm not really sure what was up with that. I thought maybe it was a whole setup that he, like, that guy maybe owns, like, wherever these brains are being kept and whatever's going on, like, he set it up and he wanted to see if Maeve would try to escape. And it was all a setup right to the very end.
Maybe,
right.
But we really don't have proof that she's for sure in the real world yet. Because
she
I kind of wondered
she,
if maybe that's also part of a simulation.
She better be
it's
in the
possible.
Fucking real world because it's only 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And I really, I'm done. I watched two seasons of Maeve trying to escape, and I'm not watching a third season of Maeve trying to escape.
That's true. I don't know, but I'd like them to connect the two different storylines because I just, I don't know. I didn't really love the first episode all that much. I mean, it was good, but I expected more, and at least this one was, like, a lot more what I kind of enjoyed and expected, I guess.
Well, I think the first episode is going to turn out to be very necessary. If this guy wants Maeve to find Dolores and stop her, then it was certainly necessary to have an entire episode showing Dolores' badassery in the new world.
Right, right.
And how hard she'll be to take over and kill.
Right.
AJ, do you think that's the guy who invented Rehoboam or whatever that big computer ball, that beehive-shaped computer is that we saw in episode one? This guy created it, right? Is that what you understood, AJ?
I got that impression. I was thinking that it was. I mean, it's perfect. It would explain why he wants Dolores dead, why he's worried about it. And it's obviously all got to come together. So it would make perfect
mm-hmm.
sense. But I got that initial impression too. I'm sure we'll learn more as we go on.
Which makes him, Dolores' fake boyfriend, the boyfriend is named Liam, is that his name? That makes this guy not Liam's father. He is the partner of Liam's father.
Right.
And from Liam's perspective, he's a bad guy. From the Liam Dolores perspective of episode one, he's a very bad dude who is cutting Liam out and controlling everything.
Yeah, but we need to see his side to know more, so.
Well, I mean, judging by, like, the Scottish guy that he sent to, like, kill Dolores and stuff, he does, he seemed very much to be a bad guy for episode one, right? So it's interesting that he, you know, does he want Maeve to kill Dolores because Dolores is bad, or he's just trying to protect himself? I don't know. And it seems to me...
I'm going to go with bad himself.
Yeah. Well,
but
it seems to me that if you...
Gut reaction.
Well, yeah, and, like, he's able to get control of Westworld technology, create a computer simulation to put Maeve's brain in to see if, like, he's able to go to great, great lengths. Like, wouldn't it just be easier to kill Dolores? Couldn't he figure out how to kill Dolores, right? Like, he went to great lengths to, like, to test Maeve and liberate her, and it seems to me that I don't know. It's a funny way to go about it, right?
Yeah, but
we don't know
Dolores
anything yet.
These AIs, especially Dolores and Maeve, they're special. You know what I mean? They're not your typical AI. You know, the biggest thing is I'm very glad that Maeve doesn't have. I mean, it was a simulation at the moment, but I get the feeling that she's not going to have those special powers because they don't really serve a purpose this season. And you and I both, after a while, kind of got. Just felt that it was a little too easy for situations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And she could just stop everyone. And also, it's not so special. Like, Dolores seems able to control every single kind of technology in the entire world now just with her mind, right? Making motorcycles come and pick her up and shit like that.
The world is kind of dumb.
Well, I get it mirrors Maeve's powers, right? Like, Maeve was able to do basically the same thing in controlling all the robots in Westworld.
Yeah, but she wasn't in the real world, so...
Yeah,
but
it's basically the same superpower. I'm saying that now they have equal superpowers, right?
Yeah.
Or will we see Maeve at a disadvantage for a change, which is not what I want to see. Like, I don't want to see Maeve at a disadvantage. I want her to be the badass that she was in every scene of last season. We'll see. Interesting that, do you think that Hector is totally out of the show, you guys?
I think he could be back because nothing she saw in there was real. So we don't really know one way or another, I would say. Anyway, I got to get going though. I don't want to cut you guys off, but I need to get going.
Okay.
I got to drop
off.
Go
ahead.
But I'll talk to you guys next week.
I didn't know you
week.
Had short time tonight. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Night.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Night, Jamie.
Good night. I didn't know that she had to go. I was making her talk more about Walking Dead.
To answer your... what's his name?
Hector.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
don't feel like he was going to make a return appearance. I think it was kind of one and done. It might be beneficial to kind of coax Maeve into doing what he wants to bring him back as her sidekick. But I don't get the feeling it is. I think this was kind of just that, you know, he was integral to the story for Maeve in this. But I don't see him going forward. I think in the real world, it's just going to be a lot of Maeve and Dolores.
Yeah, that we'll see fewer. And Aaron
and
Paul,
course,
I guess.
And, of course, Bernard. And, of course, Bernard and what's-his-face.
Yeah.
You know, we essentially have three stories. You know, I mean, who knows how it might branch out. But it's basically three stories that we're going to watch. And I tell you, so far, at least for sort of, I like the pacing, and I like the way they're telling the story. I don't mind that I did not see Dolores again this episode. Now, sure, next week we'll probably see Maeve and Dolores, and maybe we won't see Bernard, or we'll only see him for a minute or something. You know what I mean?
Actually,
more complex,
yeah.
And we understand what it's about.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're going to see What's-Her-Face, who is in What's-Her-Face's body. Charlotte.
Yeah. I think that next week's – so I saw next week's promo, and it seemed to all be about – it seemed to be a Charlotte episode. Like, and she's like – I guess we're going to find out who's inside her body and what happened. So you have a good point about Hector being a one-and-done. Maeve doesn't really need him as a sidekick, partly because it looks to me like they're going to set up Maeve and Bernard as, like, Dolores has Aaron Paul, Bernard is going to have Maeve to help him,
right.
I think. And they're an interesting pairing because Maeve, like, has no – I don't want to say she has no morality because she does have a certain code, but Maeve is not hesitant to kill to get what she needs, and Bernard's, like, sort of overriding thing is that he never wants to hurt anybody except Dolores now. But he's definitely a different personality with his own different boundaries than she has. So they could be kind of an interesting pair up personality wise, these two, I think.
Yeah.
Cause I think you're right. It's like Dolores versus Bernard and, although we've got Charlotte, I mean, we've got robots, for sure. And we still have the question of, like, who are all the pearls that Dolores brought with her? I mean, interestingly, I feel like there's not a whole ton to discuss in this week's episode because so much of it was the repetition of Maeve's story of being, like, trapped in a new hell, you know, until she was able to, like, hack her way out of it. But, like, 40 minutes of it took place in War World.
Right. You know, obviously I can't ask her now, but I was surprised to hear that Jamie didn't like last week's episode. It was very sci-fi. I figured that was right up her alley.
And stylish. It was stylish. It was very sciencey, very, you know, futuristic, and it does seem to be Jamie's style a little bit. That is a little bit surprising. We'll have to ask her more about that next week. Like what she didn't really like about it. I liked it. I liked the almost total rebootness. Like almost like I was watching a totally new and different show, right? And I think we're gonna get more of that. I mean, if Maeve is truly out in the real world now, this is where we're gonna be. We don't have to go back to West. Bernard left Westworld. Like we have left the parks behind, I think, totally now.
Yeah, now that Bernard went and got what he needed, and Maeve being, you know, that's gonna be the interesting is, how does Bernard come across Maeve now that she's off the island? You know what I mean?
off the island. Yeah. Now that she's out in the world, you can't just like look on like go to the mainframe or whatever that control panel was they have, and you can see where every host is. That you're looking for. There's no way to track them. They're just sort of out in the world. I don't know, unless this guy is going to find them also. You know, it's interesting that Stubbs has been, you know, I mean, he's been on it for the whole first two seasons, but, you know, as a little bit of a, a B character, a support. Well, I shouldn't say that, but a supporting character for sure,
yeah.
Right? And it's interesting of like all the characters to get off that island and come forward. Like Stubbs seems to be, you know, I mean, is he being elevated to a main character? Is he still going to be a supporting character? His overriding directive now his core directive is to protect Bernard at all costs. So I guess he's going to be pretty much.
Which is great.
Yeah.
You could have just asked me.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to be in like pretty much every scene with Bernard for a while, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to see who gets off the island and who doesn't get off the island. And you know, they could be a good couple. They're not a couple, but did you watch the after the episode? I don't always watch them, but I did this week.
I ended up watching it because I wanted to see if there was another post-credit scene.
After, me too, yeah.
after missing it last week, and then I was like, ooh, behind the scenes.
Yeah, and you get to see, you know, I mean, it's interesting to see. I don't always have time, but, you know, it's better than, I mean, I began to not really enjoy those during Game of Thrones, when Game of Thrones went into, like, its very shitty last season. Well,
I never watched the Game of Thrones one.
Because they were maddening. They were, like, justifying all their horrible decisions and horrible storytelling. But these seem to be a bit better.
They were so long. Like, they weren't, they were like 20
minutes.
They
were long. They were like 12 minutes. Yeah, 20 minutes. Yeah. They were long, for sure. You're right. Yeah. So, anyhow, anything else there? There wasn't a ton to, like, talk about.
No.
This week, I think. We're still setting stuff up in these early episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even the setup episodes for a show like this is so good. Like, I can't wait until Artie starts and watches. I was going to try and get him to get caught up before the season started, but he's not even done with Continuum yet. He's finally on season 4, though.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but anyway, so on to Manifest.
On to Manifest. All right. How'd you like this week's Manifest? Let me just... 4 month time jump. How do you like the 4 month time jump and where we are now?
I don't. And the reason I don't like it is because I hate off-screen happenings of important things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't even realize it was a time jump at first because they're looking at the wall weird. And he says something about Cal's shadows. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? I'm like, Cal told him about that off-screen. I'm like, that's, you know, such a big deal last week. And now this week, it's like, whatever. You know, shadow people. Like, I didn't like that. In case you didn't notice.
Yeah.
I didn't follow why they did that.
I didn't know there was a time jump either until they mentioned the baby is 4 months old. And I was wondering why. I was like, in the beginning, Ben is like, come on, Eve, smile. Eden, is that her name? Eden. He's like holding the baby and trying to get the baby to smile and talking to the baby. And I'm like, oh my God, that baby was born like yesterday. The baby's not going to smile. Like, I was wondering why he was acting kind of inappropriate, like not.
And actually.
Like, right? Like, you've had a bunch of kids. They don't smile until they're old, right?
Yeah. My first thing was, why is the baby home? And then realized time jump.
Baby who almost died was already home. Yeah. And then when they said the baby's 4 months old, I got it. That's the second time jump we've had this season. Didn't we have a time jump of like 6 or more months earlier?
When the season started, it was 6 months
later. Yeah. Yeah. So, two things here. I almost wonder if they're trying to age Cal's character to catch up with how much the actor has grown in the last, you know, over the break, the last break. I also think they clearly are trying to accelerate Zeke's illness to make that the dramatic climax of the season. right? He had 6 months to live last time we saw, and now he conveniently only has 2 months to live.
And speaking of Zeke, I feel like he could die. I feel like Zeke could die for two reasons. The calling about his father this episode, which as soon as he dropped that what looked like whatever that little box was before we realized you know what it is, I said that wasn't strange and ominous in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
I was like, clearly this guy has something to do with the calling, you know. And then they saved his life and everything, and you know, as soon as it was, I don't know, obviously as soon as Zeke was like, how do you know that song? My father wrote it. I was like, oh my God, the guy is Zeke's father.
His father, yeah.
And that's when I was like, and then I was like, you know, I was like, Zeke could die. He's kind of getting closure. Like the callings are giving him that closure, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is interesting. That could actually kill Zeke. And the reason, and the other thing is, Jared and Michaela are like best friends again. And, you know, even though they have a conversation and Michaela's like, I'm with Jared, you know, I'm Jared, you know, don't get any funny ideas because I'm with Zeke and I love him and blah, 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 blah. And you know, he's like, you know, he's like, I'm not a huge fan of it, but I'm accepting it and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So I'm like, you know, could they possibly be actually doing it where they kill him to put them back together?
Well, they could be. I mean, it is convenient that the 4 months also makes it convenient that we don't have to see, like, tension between Jared and Michaela anymore and their friends or whatever. I think they could kill him. I think, you know, you and I have been very conditioned by other shows that we watch that when a character gets, you know, redemption and closure and makes up with their family and stuff like that, you know, they're clearly going to die, right? So, yeah, I think he could die for those reasons. I think that he doesn't really add that much. Like, he was put onto the show, I mean, for two reasons, but one of them was to create tension between Jared and Michaela, right? And if that tension is now resolved, he doesn't really need to be there. Like, they'll get married, and then he'll drop dead, right? And then she'll be, conveniently, she and Jared will both be available again. You know, he also was put there to sort of, like, give them some ideas about the callings, but the death date, you know, it helped them figure out the death date. And like, what does Zeke really contribute to the show right now? Not that much. I mean, the character is nice enough. Like, he's a boring, likable kind of a guy. I mean, he has to die. If they can't solve his death date, they can't cure him because then they cure everybody. And then what's up with the show, right? Like, then it's just people who have callings. Like, if they cure him, it takes away the urgency from everybody else on the show who needs a cure.
Yeah.
Speaking, go ahead.
Speaking of your favorite character,
yes. Yeah.
She gets dumber every week. Like, Zeke is like, Zeke goes, you're still testing it? She's like, of course I am. And I'm like, the thing that bothers me probably more than anything, what proof does she have curing, you know, stopping the callings is going to stop the death date? To me, you know what stopping the callings does? Stops you from being able to stop the death date or know stuff that you need. You know what I mean? Like, it just...
Well, and like, didn't we already kind of prove that? Like, Zombie stopped her own callings and she started going crazy and having memory loss and seizures and acting crazy. And also, didn't the Book of Zathura, whatever his name is, show that one guy, like, stopped having callings and they all went crazy and died or whatever, right? Like this is established that the callings are good. And
that's
Adrian's idea
thing.
The callings are bad was a temporary. I mean, are they good? I don't know. They're not harmful. I don't believe
that. we're still on that. Like, you know, look at the end of the episode. I'm not sure what to think because, you know, the shadow people, you get to the end of the episode and you see those, the three meth heads in the jail cell.
Yeah.
And am I to believe it's their shadows? And the calling saying to let this guy go and... by the way, speaking of like that whole stupid storyline, as soon as the kid says the bus was the drop, I was like, oh, it's the bus driver.
Yeah. I think...
Like, this show is very telegraphed.
Yeah, it is. So the calling this week, we're jumping around a little bit, but the calling, the let him go calling, that's Michaela's voice saying it to herself. Like, the calling is not usually her own. Is this the first time the calling has been her in her own voice, right?
It's usually their own voice.
Oh, it is? Oh, all right. That's how much I pay attention. But saying let him go, and it's because this guy's going to threaten to kill her? Like, it really? Like, that's just not what the calling usually is. The calling's never about preserving your own well-being. The calling's always about helping someone else, right?
Feel like he was threatening to kill her specifically. It felt more like an overall threat of, you know, of bad things to come. You know, it's like, I don't think he was directing it at her. I think he's got something to, I don't even know how to explain the feeling I got from it.
Well, he said, I will rain holy hell down on you. And he never, you're right, never said, I'm going to kill you, but it was a very threatening, a very angry and threatening thing that he said.
But it was an ominous type threat. It was a threat of grandeur more than anything, you know? Like, it wasn't, I don't know.
I mean, there's got to be more to it. I just can't believe that the calling would tell a cop not to arrest people because it would be dangerous to herself as a she's a cop. Like every person she threatens, every person she arrests is potentially going to try to kill her when they get out, right? According if you believe like every cop show you've ever watched. It's a weird calling and a surprising calling. And when it turned out to be those three guys, which I figured out like, you know, 2 seconds before it all like fell into place there. I think you're right. It feels
I forgot about the
like,
guy.
Yeah, right. I did too. But it feels weird. You're right that this is what the calling is. Like, watch out for these three guys. And you know, when Cal drew it last year, it was one shadow. It only became three shadows recently.
Yeah, and it always starts out as one shadow and it morphs into the three.
Yeah. So it's not making that much sense. So
now if there was a fourth shadow, I'd be a little more nervous, you know. Four horsemen of the apocalypse and all that.
Right, Right. But it's these three like meth dealers. They're not even like so they make meth and they're probably like dangerous guys, but it's not like, I mean, it's a fairly routine criminal gang. It's not like a John Wick level of international, like, or a Taken level of international, like, you know, horrible. I mean, they're fairly run-of-the-mill criminals.
I feel like that's where it's gonna, I feel like there's more than meets the eye here. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're
a little
more dangerous than they look. Which
they would have to be.
Like the head guy, the one that just got out of prison, he's obviously he's not an 828er, but I feel like he's like Griffin.
Like he died and came and he's only got a certain amount of time. You think he's another one, like Zeke, like Griffin.
Yeah.
Like had an experience. Yeah, probably. I mean, this has to be building to something. It's a little. Yeah, I mean, we're about halfway through the season. I think we have more than a few to go. So there's time to develop it. Like, I'd be kind of irritated if we were getting near the end of the season and these guys were going to be a big thing. But the other thing that happened was Sanji got arrested at the end of the episode. So
that's
what's
right.
up with that? That came out of nowhere, right?
Well, Well, she didn't get arrested. She's just not allowed to practice whatever the hell she's doing. And I think.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, you know, she says, Kim, who authorized this? It's got to be Alex.
The ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, because she didn't, she didn't approve of what she was doing in the first place.
Well, and she was worried about her, right? She's she should. She's experimenting on herself. She's having bad consequences on herself. And even Zeke's like, whatever, it's not working. Like, I'm not taking it anymore.
Yeah.
Like Zeke. So the last time we saw Zeke speak to her was I can't believe he's been doing it for 4 months. He's been ambivalent since the last time we saw those two together, which apparently was 4 months ago. And he's been taking this medication for 4 months, and his, she's very, like, she, on the one hand, I find Sambi very annoying for another reason. She's one of these TV doctors that's a specialist in everything. Like, she was Cal's cancer doctor at one point. She is some sort of genetic specialist. She knows, like, she does, she, like, debrides his, Zeke's, she's a frostbite expert or whatever. Like, she's an expert in everything. I mean, I guess that they don't want Zeke going to seek, like, traditional treatment from anyone, because they'd be like, why do you have all this frostbite that's persisting for 4 months, right? So I kind of get that, but you're right. It has to be Alex, probably, who told on her. Out of concern for her, from a good place, probably, right? It occurred to me, like, could it be the major trying to stop Zombie's research? But I think the major, like, doesn't she would just kill Zombie if she wanted to, like, like, that's not how the major operates. I think that I think you have
Although,
a good guess
that
it's probably
problem,
Alex.
You know what the biggest problem with Zombie is? She was brilliant, and now she's just kind of ridiculous.
She is.
She's like.
She is ridiculous.
She's a one note. She's kind of a one note joke now. Like, she's not believable. You know, before it was like, oh my God, she was a doc. You know, she's like a cancer doctor on Cal's case and everything. And it makes sense that she's gotten into other fields because of the callings and, you know, trying to do research on themselves and everything. But, like, it's gotten out of hand, and she's just a joke, and she's not smart anymore. Like, I used to love Sanvi, and now it's just like, I see her on the screen, and I'm just like, oh, her again.
Yeah. Yep. She's not smart. She doesn't contribute anything. Like, Olive has solved so much more than Sanvi ever has. She makes dumb mistakes. I'm really not interested in her failed love affair with this woman who's like a non-character. You know, for a lot of last season, I really felt that Ben and Sanvi had really good chemistry, and I kept thinking that Sanvi was in love with Ben. And you know, while Ben wanted so much to get back together with his wife, I felt like I really suspected that's where the story was going. I'm surprised it never did. They have way better chemistry than Michaela and Jared or Michaela and Zeke, right? Or Ben and Grace. I just find those two characters, I really thought that. And now they've given us this thing where she's interested in Grace, but because Grace is not a character and just a random person from the past, there's not really any, you know, and Grace is like, oh, I'm married, I can't. So I guess there's big consequences for Alex, but not Grace, Alex, but like the stakes are small for us in terms of the story, right? Like, who cares if she's not, like, it wasn't really fully established that Zombie had a broken heart really until recently. Like, that wasn't part of last year's storyline at all, right?
Until the episode they told us.
Yeah. One day she's like, oh, my heart is broken. I'm like, oh, okay. That's new. Yeah, you're right about that. So, yeah, she's the worst. Zombie's the worst. She's so much, like, Grace has gotten better, and Grace is still kind of a pain.
Yeah.
And Zombie became the worst character. By far.
Yeah, I don't mind Grace anymore.
Yeah. I guess Grace won't get any more callings now that she has a baby. Do you think the little baby can get callings?
I know. I've wondered about that after the baby was born.
Yeah. Can Grace just not have any more callings? And is that the end of it? Which, Like, well, I think it makes sense, and she shouldn't. The baby's out of her. The baby is the child of an 828er. Grace is not. Yeah, Grace shouldn't get any more, and yet it's kind of weird for Grace to not get any, in a way.
But at the same time, how interesting is it going to be to have a four-month-old baby get a calling? I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a calling about the fucking, you know, breast milk. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it was the baby getting callings when it was inside of Grace, so I assume it can still get callings. It's not like the baby's not going to get callings until it matures or whatever. So I don't know how that's going to go.
The baby's going to get calling of somebody evil. The baby will get calling of somebody evil, and it'll cry when that person's around.
Right,
and
yeah.
Like, why
maybe,
is the baby crying?
Why does the baby hate that person so much? Oh, because they're evil. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Why does the baby cry every time this person's around?
Maybe she's the major. I don't know. I don't know. There's, again, not a ton to talk about. This was they took a long time building this meth storyline with like sort of a reveal at the end, but we don't really have a lot of information or know anything that we can like discuss here.
Yeah, no, I think we've pretty much talked about it. We were all over the place, but we talked about it all.
Yep. Yeah, we did. So that's all we got this week. I'm sorry Jamie left because I wanted to ask her. I think there's a new show coming on Sci-Fi. I think this Friday is the premiere of Vagrant Queen. Have you seen this advertised? Vagrant Queen.
I feel like it sounds familiar.
It's based on a comic book. Maybe you've heard of the comic book. It's a comic book, and I have not read the comic, but I understand that it and the show are sort of like a space opera, and they're about a girl who was a queen. She was a child queen, and there was like a revolution in her country. And so now she's just like a, I don't know if she's like a smuggler and just like has her ship and sort of like a, they say it's like a Firefly type thing with her crew, like flying around the galaxy, like doing whatever to get by. And then someone comes and tries to convince her. Yeah. And then someone is going to convince her to come back to her, let's go back to your planet and reclaim your throne or whatever kind of thing, I guess, premieres on Friday. So I guess I will give it a watch, especially since I can't go out of the house on Friday night like I used to. So I guess I'll be sitting home watching TV. And there's, who's the cast? There's someone's in it that I wanted to, the cast is mostly people I've not heard of, except for, hang on, I'm looking it up. This is what I wanted to ask, Jamie. Tim Rozon from Wynonna Earp is in it. He's a star of Wynonna Earp, and he's a star of this show. He plays Doc Holliday in Wynonna Earp. Anyway, I guess I'll give it a shot. There's not going to be a lot of new shows on. I do see that Sci-Fi is also promoting the heck out of Resident Alien, which also I think is based on a comic book, right? And it's about an alien like living among us, an alien living among us and having like a normal life or whatever, right? That premieres shortly. I don't know. They're advertising it. So anyway, and I think that Linda Hamilton is going to be in it. She's in a recurring role in it. It's a Dark Horse comic book. And so, if only for her, I'd give it a watch. So anyway, Alan Tudyk is the star.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. From Firefly. So another reason to watch it. I don't know if there's a date. I see it being advertised, but Vagrant Queen definitely this Friday. So maybe we'll discuss it. I'll watch it and we can talk about it next week a little bit.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. That is our show for tonight. And we'll do it again next week. Stay safe. Take 6 feet away.
Yep.
Have a good one. Night.
All right, take care. Bye.